pawn.
Lassie? Harmony, it was her. It was her. Ask him, Wax, she said. Ask him, why, if he knows everything, he'd let you kill me. She grew still. Lassie, Wax said. Lassie! She was gone. There in his lap, he stared at her body. It kept its shape, her shape. He clutched her and let out a low-pitched howl from deep within, a raw shout that echoed in the night. It seemed to drive the mists back. He still knelt there, holding the body, an hour later when a figure loped out of the mists and approached on four legs. Tensun the Chondra, guardian of the ascendant warrior, approached with a reverent step. Wolfhound's head bowed. Wax stared out into those shifting mists, holding a corpse, hoping irrationally that his heat would keep it warm.
Tell me,
Wax said, voice cracking and rough from his shouting.
Tell me, Chondra.
She was sent to you long ago, Tensun said, sitting back on his haunches. The woman you knew as Lassie was always one of us.
No.
Harmony worried about you and the Ruffs, lawman, Tensun said. He wanted you to have a bodyguard. Fa'am had exhibited a willingness to break prohibitions the rest of us held sacred. He hoped that you two would be good for one another.
You didn't tell me!
Wax spat, his grip tight. Hatred. He didn't think he had ever felt hatred so intense as he did at that moment.
I was forbidden, Tensun said. Milan didn't know. I was only informed a few days ago. Harmony foresaw a disaster if you were told whom you hunted.
And this isn't a disaster, Chondra?
Tensun turned away. They sat there on that empty bridge, electric lights making pockets in the mist, a dead woman in Wax's lap.
I killed her,
Wax whispered, squeezing his eyes closed.
I killed her again.
Epilogue. Wax sat alone in a room full of people. They'd done everything to make him comfortable. A warm fire on the hearth, a small lamp on the table beside it. Prosteris knew he preferred flame to electricity. Broadsheets lay untouched in a row beside a cup of tea that had long since grown cold. They talked and celebrated, led by Lord Harms, who laughed and exclaimed about his minor part in it all. A disaster averted. A new governor. The first ever who was not of noble blood. Even the Lord Mistborn long ago had been part nobleman. The last emperor had been full-blooded, and the survivor half-nobleman. All great people, everyone agreed, to be lauded. But Claude Aradel had none of the same lineage. Not a drop of noble blood in him. Those at the party congratulated one another for being so progressive as to speak favorably of one who was common-born. Wax stared into the fire, fingering at the stubble on his chin. He spoke when it was required of him, but mostly they allowed him his peace. He was wrung out, Steris told them, fatigued by the terrible things he'd seen. She diverted them from him when she could, telling them, when they inevitably asked, that she and he had decided to delay the wedding so Wax could take a short vacation to recuperate. Partway through the event, Wayne sauntered over on crutches. He couldn't heal without storing up more health, and he couldn't do that while healing from his wound, or it would defeat the purpose. For now, he had to deal with the fragility of the body just like a normal person.
We're all so fragile, when you consider it, Wax thought. One little thing goes wrong and we break.
Hey, mate, Wayne said, settling down on the footstool by Wax's feet. Wanna hear how I'm a rustin' genius?
Shoot, Wax whispered.
Wayne leaned forward, spread his hands before himself dramatically. I'm gonna get everybody drunk! The crowd continued its chatter. Mostly constables. Some political allies of Wax's. He'd chosen to do business with the more reputable people in the city, so Aradel's culling of the lords hadn't hit his house. It was considered an enormous political victory.
See, I got this plan, Wayne said, tapping his head. People in this town, they got issues. The folks what work in the factories think having more time to themselves is going to fix their woes, but they gotta do something with that time. I've got an idea. It'll fix it all.
Harmony, Wayne, Wax said. You're not going to poison the city, are you?
Nah, Wayne said. Not their bodies, at least.
He grinned.
You watch. This will work. It's gonna be amazing.
He rose and stumbled, almost falling. He looked at his leg in surprise, as if he'd forgotten about the wound. Then he shook his head, grabbing his crutch and getting to his feet. Once standing, he hesitated, then leaned down.
It'll pass, mate, he said. My pa once said to me, son, keep a stiff upper lip. So if things get bad, you bash your face against a wall till your lip bleeds and you'll feel better. Works for me. At least I think it does. Can't right remember, on account of too many head wounds.
He grinned. Wax kept staring into the flames. Wayne's face fell.
She'd have wanted you to stop her, you know. Wayne said softly. If she'd been able to talk to you, been able to think straight, she'd have demanded you kill her, just like I'd have wanted it, just like you'd want the same if you'd lost your copper. You did what you had to do, mate, and you did it well.
He made a fist at Wax and nodded, then hobbled off, approaching a short young woman with long golden hair. A teenage girl? Wax didn't recognize her.
I know you, don't I? Wayne said. Daughter of Remingtel Toxel? The guy what invented the incandescent light bulb?
The girl's jaw dropped.
You know him?
She seized Wayne by the arms.
You know about my father?
Sure do, Wayne said. He was robbed, I gotta say. Genius. Word is, you're just as smart. That device you whipped up for making speeches sure is nice.
She regarded Wayne, then leaned in.
That's only the start. They've brought it into their houses. Don't you see? It's all around.
What?
Wayne said.
Electricity, the girl said. And I'm going to be the first to use it.
Huh, Wayne said. Need some money?
Do I?
She towed Wayne away through the party, aglow, speaking so quickly Wax couldn't pick out the words. He didn't care to. He just stared at the fire. The guests were polite enough not to imply that he was ruining the party by his indifference. Clotilde passed by, swapping his cold cup of tea out for a warm one. For all Wax cared, this comfortable chair could have been a hard bench. He didn't feel it, or the warmth of the fire, or the joy of the victory. How could you hear a bee buzzing in the middle of a thunderstorm? The guests eventually found excuses to leave, their sedate revels accomplished. Some bade farewell to him. Others did not. About halfway through the protracted death of the party, Maracy settled down on his footstool. She wore her constable's uniform. Odd thing to do at a party, though as he thought about it, the man in the constabulary did it all the time. Maracy took his tea and sipped it, then placed something else onto the table where the cup had been. Wax's eyes flicked toward it. A small spike, long as a finger, made of some silvery metal with dark red spots, like rusted bits.
That's one of the spikes she was using, Waxillium,
Maracy said softly.
Milan wanted me to show it to you.
Wax closed his eyes. They thought he wanted to see something like that.
Waxillium, Maracy said. We can't identify the metal. It's nothing we've ever seen before. It certainly wasn't one of the spikes she started with. That means she removed both and stuck this one like this in instead. Where did she get them? Who gave them to her?
I don't care, he whispered, opening his eyes. Maracy grew quiet.
Wax.
He sent her to me, Maracy. He sent a Chondra to seduce me.
No,
Maracy said, firm. He sent a bodyguard to watch over you in the roughs. I spoke to Tensoon. The seduction was her idea. And yours, presumably.
Harmony knew, Wax said hoarsely. He saw what would happen.
Maybe he didn't.
Then what kind of god is he? What good is a god like him, Maracy? Tell me that.
Maracy fidgeted, then sighed and took the strange spike back. She dropped something else onto the table as she rose. A small earring, just a stud with the back bent over.
They sent this for you.
Wax didn't look at it. He left that earring right where it was, as Maracy made her farewells and stepped out of the party. Others came to him, offered bland encouragement of the type you might write on a card. He nodded, but didn't listen. Maracy stopped by the precinct offices on her way home from the party at Ladrian Mansion, intent on retrieving her copy of Lord Mistborn's hemallergy book, which she'd locked in her drawer. The offices were dark and quiet, a direct contrast to the chaos of a few nights back. Though some constables were out on patrol, most had been given time off. Only those with jail watch would be on duty. So it surprised her when she found lights on at the back of the main chamber. She walked up and leaned against the doorframe, looking in at Aradel, who had a stack of papers out and was working on them by candlelight.
I find it hard to believe, Maracy noted, that there's nothing better for the governor to do on his first day in office than equipment depreciation reports. Not that I mind. You've been ignoring those for how long?
Aradel's expression soured.
I'm not governor, he said. Not really.
The title interim governor has the word governor in it, sir.
They'll vote someone else into office next month at the proper hearing.
Frankly, sir, I doubt that.
He slapped one page down on the stack, signed and sealed, then sat there staring at it. Finally, he ran a hand through his hair.
Oh, preservation, what have I done? And why the hell didn't any of you stop me?
Maracy smiled.
You didn't exactly give us a chance, sir.
I'll run away, he said. I'll refuse the appointment. I'll...
He looked up at her and then sighed.
I can't be happy in this position, Combs.
The ones who are happy in the role, sir, seem to have had their chance. I'm excited to see where it goes from here. You just changed the world.
Didn't mean to.
Doesn't matter,
Maracy said, glancing to the side as someone else moved through the darkened chamber approaching. Another constable coming in to catch up on work?
Oh, no.
Governor Innate stepped up to the door, holding a belt.
Either of you know how to tie one of these?
The former governor said in Milan's voice.
You don't tie a belt, Condra, Aradel said. You buckle it.
No, no,
Milan said, pulling it tight.
I mean in making a noose. People always talk about guys hanging themselves in their cells, but I'll be damned if I can figure it out. Hung there for a good 10 minutes, and I'm pretty sure it would have killed even the most frail mortal. I've got it wrong somehow.
She looked up at the two of them, then frowned at their appalled expressions.
What?
Hang yourself,
Maracy spluttered, finally finding her voice.
You're our linchpin witness.
You really think, Milan said dryly, that Harmony would let me sit at trial and testify falsely against people I don't even know? It would make a mockery of justice, kids.
No, Maracy said. We have the letters. We know the truth.
Do you?
Milan asked, pulling the belt tight again.
You know for certain Pa'am didn't forge those letters, or that Innate himself didn't do it before she took him. You know that those lords and ladies went through with the plans rather than backing out. You know they weren't just talking about possibilities.
We've got good cases, Holy Immortal, Aradel said. Lieutenant Combs has done her research. We're pretty sure this is all correct.
Then convince the judge and jury,
Milan said with a shrug.
We don't do things like this. People have to be able to trust the law. I'm a lot of things, but I'm not going to be the one who sets the precedent that the Condra can lie in order to get someone convicted, even if you're pretty sure you've got the right evidence.
Maracy folded her arms, grinding her teeth. Aradil glanced at her, questioning. Without her, they'll wiggle out of it, Mercy said. We won't be able to keep them in jail. They'll be loose upon the city again. She sighed. But... blast! She's probably right, sir. I'd have hit on it if I'd thought about it long enough. We can't falsify evidence, however right our cause. He nodded.
We weren't going to keep them in prison anyway, Combs. I have too much power even now. They'd find a way to escape conviction, pinning the charges on subordinates. He sat back in his chair. They'll have the governor's seat again, unless someone does something about it. Damn it. I really have to do this, don't I?
Sorry, sir, Morrissey said.
Well, at least I can get my desk clear of paperwork first, he said, leaning forward in determination. Suggestions for my replacement as Constable General?
Ready, Morrissey said.
He hates you.
Doesn't make him a bad conner, sir, Morrissey said. So long as someone keeps an eye on him, as you put it. I can do that. I think he'll rise to the challenge.
Aradil nodded, then held up a hand to Milan. She tossed him the belt, and he tied it in a loop.
This part around your neck, Holy One. Make your skin bruise so it looks right, a V-shape. You know how to make someone look like they died of strangling?
Yeah,
Milan said.
Unfortunately.
I'll come cut you down in 15 minutes, Aradil said. You'll need to fool the coroner.
No problem,
Milan said.
I can breathe through a tracheal system instead of lungs. Arrange to have the body cremated. Give me a window and I'll slip out and leave the bones, which you can burn. Nice and neat.
Fine,
Aradil said, looking sick. Milan bade him farewell, wandering back toward the cells. Morrissey joined her after giving Aradil a salute he didn't see.
How did you get out, anyway?
Morrissey asked, catching up to Milan.
Stuck my finger in the lock, Milan said, and melted my skin, shoving a bit in. It's amazing what you can do when you aren't constrained to normal body shapes.
They walked together to the entrance of the jail part of the building. Morrissey wasn't going to ask how Milan had avoided the guards. Hopefully the two hadn't been hurt.
Harmony knows, right?
Morrissey asked as Milan lingered at the door. If these people are guilty or not?
He does.
So you could simply ask him if it's just to imprison them. If he says yes, we go through with it. I'd accept God's word on the matter to satisfy my conscience.
Still breaks our rules, Milan said, and Harmony probably wouldn't talk.
Why not? Morrissey said. You realize what all this has done to Waxillium, right?
He'll weather it.
He shouldn't have to.
And what would you have Harmony do, woman? Give us all the answers? Lead us by the noses, like Pa'am swore that he did? Turn us all into pieces on a board for his amusement?
Morrissey stepped back. She'd never heard such a tone from Milan.
Or maybe you want it the other way, Milan snapped. Leave us alone completely? Not intervene at all?
No, I...
Can you imagine what it must be like? Knowing that any action you take is going to help some, but hurt others? Save a man's life now, let him spread a disease that kills a child later in his life. Harmony does the best he can. The best possible, by the very definition. Yes, he hurt Wax. He hurt him badly. But he put the pain where he knew it could be borne.
Morrissey blushed then, annoyed at herself, dug in her purse and brought out the strange spike.
And this?
It's not a medal we know.
That's what Tensun said, but Harmony...
It's not a medal Harmony knows,
Milan said. Morrissey felt a chill.
Then, it's not his? Not from his form? Like the old stories of Atium and Larassium?
No,
Milan said.
It's from somewhere else. She used these strange spikes to steal attributes instead of the ones we're familiar with. Maybe that's why she could use stolen elemency and ferrochemy when other Chandra can't. Either way, didn't you wonder why Harmony couldn't see Bleeder? Couldn't track her? Couldn't predict her? What could stop a god, Morrissey Combs? Any guesses?
Another god,
Morrissey whispered.
Congratulations,
Milan said, pulling open the door.
You found proof of something that terrifies us. Think on that for a while before you go around accusing Harmony or the Chandra of anything. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go try to hang myself properly.
She slipped away, closing the door behind her.
Another god, Marcy thought, standing in the darkness. Not Harmony, not Ruin, not Preservation.
She looked down at the small spike in her hands and heard a name from a year ago spoken by Miles Hundredlives as he died. The name of a god from the old days. Marcy had researched the name half-heartedly, far more distracted by her interaction with Iron Eyes. Now, however, she determined to dig back into the records and find the answers. Who, or what, was Trell? The room had probably grown silent long before Wax noticed he was alone. The fire was dying. He should do something about that. He didn't. Steris stepped over and set a new log on, then stirred the embers. So he hadn't been alone. She set the poker beside the fireplace, then regarded him. He awaited her words. None came. Instead, she scooted the footstool around until it was beside his chair. She sat down, legs crossed neatly, hands in her lap. The two of them remained there, not saying a word, though she did eventually rest her hand on top of his. The fire had felt cold to him, the air frozen, but that hand was warm. Finally, he turned to the side, rested his head on her shoulder, and wept. Ars Arcanum, Metal's Quick Reference Chart. Metal, iron, elemantic power, pulls on nearby sources of metal, ferrochemical power, stores physical weight. Steel, elemantic power, pushes on nearby sources of metal, ferrochemical power, stores physical speed. Tin, elemantic power, increases senses, ferrochemical power, stores senses. Pewter, elemantic power, increases physical abilities, ferrochemical power, stores physical strength. Zinc, elemantic power, riots, inflames, emotions, ferrochemical power, stores mental speed. Brass, elemantic power, soothes, dampens, emotions, ferrochemical power, stores warmth. Copper, elemantic power, hides elemantic pulses, ferrochemical power, stores memories. Bronze, elemantic power, allows one to hear elemantic pulses, ferrochemical power, stores wakefulness. Cadmium, elemantic power, slows down time, ferrochemical power, stores breath. Bend alloy, elemantic power, speeds up time, ferrochemical power, stores energy. Gold, elemantic power, reveals your past self, ferrochemical power, stores health. Electrum, elemantic power, reveals your own future, ferrochemical power, stores determination. Chromium, elemantic power, wipes elemantic reserves of target, ferrochemical power, stores fortune. Nicrosil, elemantic power, enhances elemantic burn of target, ferrochemical power, stores investiture. Aluminum, elemantic power, wipes internal elemantic reserves, ferrochemical power, stores identity. Duralumin, elemantic power, enhances the next metal burned, ferrochemical power, stores connection. List of metals. Aluminum. A mistborn who burns aluminum instantly metabolizes all of his or her metals without giving any other effect, wiping all elemantic reserves. Mistings who can burn aluminum are called aluminum gnats due to the ineffectiveness of this ability by itself. True self fairings can store their spiritual sense of identity in an aluminum metal mind. This is an art rarely spoken of outside of terrace communities, and even among them it is not yet well understood. Aluminum itself, and a few of its alloys, are elementically inert. They cannot be pushed or pulled, and can be used to shield an individual from emotional allomancy. Bend alloy. Slider mistings burn bend alloy to compress time in a bubble around themselves, making it pass more quickly within the bubble. This causes events outside the bubble to move at a glacial pace from the point of view of the slider. Subhumor fairings can store nutrition and calories in a bend alloy metal mind. They can eat large amounts of food during active storage without feeling full or gaining weight, and then can go without the need to eat while tapping the metal mind. A separate bend alloy metal mind can be used to similarly regulate fluids intake. Brass. Soother mistings burn brass to soothe, dampen, the emotions of nearby individuals. This can be directed at a single individual or directed across a general area, and the soother can focus on specific emotions. Fire soul fairings can store warmth in a brass metal mind, cooling themselves off while actively storing. They can tap the metal mind at a later time to warm themselves. Bronze. Seeker mistings burn bronze to hear pulses given off by other allomancers who are burning metals. Different metals produce different pulses. Sentry fairings can store wakefulness in a bronze metal mind, making themselves drowsy while actively storing. They can tap the metal mind at a later time to reduce drowsiness or to heighten their awareness. Cadmium. Pulsar mistings burn cadmium to stretch time in a bubble around themselves, making it pass more slowly inside the bubble. This causes events outside the bubble to move at blurring speed from the point of view of the pulsar. Gasper fairings can store breath inside a cadmium metal mind. During active storage, they must hyperventilate in order for their bodies to get enough air. The breath can be retrieved at a later time, eliminating or reducing the need to breathe using the lungs while tapping the metal mind. They can also highly oxygenate their blood. Chromium. Leecher mistings who burn chromium while touching another allomancer will wipe that allomancer's metal reserves. Spinner fairings can store fortune in a chromium metal mind, making themselves unlucky during active storage, and can tap it at a later time to increase their luck. Copper. Copper cloud mistings, aka smokers, burn copper to create an invisible cloud around themselves which hides nearby allomancers from being detected by a seeker, and which shields the smoker from the effects of emotional allomancy. Archivist fairings can store memories in a copper metal mind. Copper mind. The memory is gone from their head while in storage and can be retrieved with perfect recall at a later time. Duralumin. A mistborn who burns duralumin instantly burns away any other metals being burned at the time, releasing an enormous burst of those metals' power. Mistings who can burn duralumin are called duralumin gnats due to the ineffectiveness of this ability by itself. Connector fairings can store spiritual connection in a duralumin metal mind, reducing other people's awareness and friendship with them during active storage, and can tap it at a later time in order to speedily form trust relationships with others. Electrum. Oracle mistings burn electrum to see a vision of possible paths their future could take. This is usually limited to a few seconds. Pinnacle fairings can store determination in an electrum metal mind, entering a depressed state during active storage, and can tap it at a later time to enter a manic phase. Gold. Augur mistings burn gold to see a vision of a past self or how they would have turned out having made different choices in the past. Bloodmaker fairings can store health in a gold metal mind, reducing their health while actively storing, and can tap it at a later time in order to heal quickly or to heal beyond the body's usual abilities. Iron. Lurcher mistings who burn iron can pull on nearby sources of metal. Pulls must be directly toward the lurcher's center of gravity. Skimmer fairings can store physical weight in an iron metal mind, reducing their effective weight while actively storing, and can tap it at a later time to increase their effective weight. Nicrosil. Nicroburst mistings, who burn Nicrosil while touching another Allomancer, will instantly burn away any metals being burned by that Allomancer, releasing an enormous